Amen. You may be seated. As you're doing so, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 as we continue in our study in the book of 1 John. You know, as you're turning there, I want you to think about something because all of us have this unique gift in common. All of us. We've been given this gift. This gift is what allows us to really have emotion. This gift is what really allows us to store information, have memories. This gift allows us to make decisions. And this gift is known as the mind. And you know, all five of our senses really increase the evidence in which our mind perceives things. Specifically, two of those are our ears and our eyes. It is the things that we see, it is the things that we hear that most commonly infiltrate and shape our minds. And it is the mind that we must keep guarded well because it is the mind that really is the pathway of shaping our heart. It has a way of forming direction within us. The things that we think, the things that we feel, all of these things that are curated within our minds are really shaping a direction within our own lives. In Proverbs chapter 4, you see this, and the author says that we should guard our mind because it is the source of life. Other translations say to guard our mind, guard our heart, because out of it is the wellspring of life. And it's here in 1 John chapter 4 that John presses pause and gives us some sure evidence and gives us some tools, gives us a way of knowing how we can guard our mind against a false message. He says to be on guard against the false prophet, the false teacher, the false messenger, the one who is bringing deception, the wicked one who is bringing up ways that are not of God. And John gives us ways that we can identify what those things are. And so if you have your Bible, your copy of God's Word, your device, you can scroll to it. Let's stand together if you're able, and let's read what it says in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1 through 6. It says this in verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. But verse 6 says, we are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask now in our time together, Father, that you would speak to us in ways that only you can. Father, that by your spirit, God, that you would take your word and God, that you would penetrate our hearts. God, that you would pierce our hearts. Father, that we may hear from you completely. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. You know, it's just as we read in this passage that there are two distinct spirits in the world, and they are at work right now in the world. They are at work right now in your life, and this is something that John takes very serious. He says that we must be on guard to discern between these two spirits. And can I just give you some insight here? That right now there is a battle happening for your mind. There is a battle taking place for your heart. Paul is very clear in Ephesians chapter 6 that the armor of God is for spiritual warfare. It is for what is happening in the heavenly realms here in our world around us. It is taking place, and it is a battle being fought within you. The choice that we have to make together is when we discern between the two, which one are you going to abide to? Which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to be able to enter and infiltrate inside of your heart? He says six times the phrase from God. And he says six times just in this passage from the world. He is making it very clear in this contrast, like John has already done in this epistle. He is making it very clear for us to understand. Now, the question for us is, how can we discern the spirits? How can we discern what is from God and what is from the world? The first thing that we need to know is the test of a false prophet. I don't know if you've heard of this story or not, but this is a true news story that happened a couple of years ago. There's this sweet lady who was like this animal activist in northeast San Antonio. And she was traveling down the road one day, and over to the side of the road, she saw this small litter, two or three kittens, just on the side of the road that were completely abandoned. And so, like any animal activist would do, she went and she took them in and she began to nurture them back to health. And there was this one day that these little bitty, sweet, innocent kittens continued to grow and grow. And as she was feeding them their milk out of a bottle, the kittens just went absolutely crazy, and they began to claw this sweet animal activist, and they were clawing her up and down, just kind of attacked her face, but she continued to persevere. Week after week, day after day, she continued to persevere. She would keep feeding them, and finally, these crazy little kittens, which is common, okay, all of you kitten people out there, I'm sorry, all right, that was a stab. But she took these sweet little kittens, and finally, she had just had enough after those sweet kittens not only was destroying her face, but they took the bottles and were destroying the bottles in which she was trying to feed them. She said, "This is crazy. Even an animal activist cannot keep up with this craziness. And so I am going to do what only I can. I'm calling animal control to see if I'm doing something wrong, see if they can tell me what to do different." And yes, they told her exactly what to do. They said, "Ma'am, you need to get rid of those things. They are not kittens. Those are bobcats." This is a news story. Listen, you can't make this up. The moral of the story is, don't trust the cat. No, I'm kidding, okay? That was too far. Too far. All you dog lovers, cut it out, okay? No, the moral of the story is this. Before inviting something into your home, before allowing something to be a part of your life, you should discern its authenticity. You see, John is giving us this understanding. He's giving us this insight so that we can discern authenticity. So you, when you are listening to a message, when you are hearing from someone declaring that to be a spiritual leader, that you would have the wisdom of God to be able to walk through whether this is worthy of your ear or not. And so we think to ourselves, well, how in the world can I do this? I'm not qualified to put someone to the test. Well, I want to remind you the way that John ends chapter 3. Right before we get to this passage, and he's talking about discerning the spirits, he says this in verse 24 of 1 John chapter 3. He says, "And the way that we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us." You see, God has given us his Spirit so that you and I are not just left out in isolation to figure things out on our own, but rather we have the Spirit of God himself, and the Spirit of God will always be aligned with himself. There will never be a moment where they are ill-aligned. You cannot have a message of the world and of God at the same time for the Spirit to just stand by and receive that. He says, you have the gift of the Spirit. Therefore, you are qualified to take part in this test of a false prophet. And this is what we see. Okay, well, how then are we to put to a test? And this word here, test, this word here, believe, means that we should really be judging or testing. We should be to put something through rigorous examination so that you can discover its genuineness. See, that's what John is talking about here, that you should be rigorous, that this is not something that we should take lightly, that you can be careless in, but to rigorously examine it. And the first thing that we need to examine is that we are to judge every messenger by their content. Judge every messenger by their content. And I just want to remind you what he says in verse 5. John says, they are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. You see, red flags should go up if a communicator, if a messenger of God's word is aligned with common worldly philosophies or ideologies of the day. You see, what people of God need to understand is what we all need to understand is that we don't follow new philosophies. We stick with the one philosophy that God has given us about his son, Jesus. Listen to what verse 3 says. It says, but every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now, it is already in the world. Remember, this is the second time that we've seen this come up. It was first in chapter 2, where John was helping us understand the difference between the Antichrist, plural, and the Antichrist who is to come in the future. He says they're already among us. He's recognizing this Antichrist as a false prophet or a false teacher. And he said, listen, they are already among us. And let me remind you that this is not only to a first century Christian. This is for all of us today, that there are Antichrists among us. There are false prophets among us. Just look within the last couple of years at all of the false prophecies concerning the elections. And listen, this is not new to this election, but it has happened on every election since FDR, that people will prophesy this is to come. And guess what? It doesn't take place. That is a false prophet. But we also have to be on guard, not just for someone who is claiming a future for you or who is claiming a future that is going to happen, but these false teachers we must be on guard against. You see, the content must be aligned with the truth of Jesus Christ, and that is it. You see, this is what the content should be centered on, is the fact that it is God's truth, it is the truth of Jesus, and anything else is in error. You know, we live in a time and we live in an age that you and I can scroll through the internet and see thousands and thousands and thousands of communicators and messengers who claim to be spiritual men of God or who claim to be spiritual leaders. And because of YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of these platforms just give further speed to their message being released across all types of people. And what you and I must understand is that the popularity of the messenger does not equate to a purity in the message. You see, do not think, man, this guy has it going on. He's got everything. Look at the following that he has. Therefore, he must have a good message. He must have a pure message. I have found that often it is the opposite. Now, I'm not saying that as a blanket statement that men of God can't be popular. That's absurd. Jesus was popular. But what we have to understand is that that is not our metric. That popularity does not equal purity. And what we have to understand is that the truth that they are teaching must be centered on Jesus Christ. The message that tickles the world's ears is one that is for the world, meaning it is from the world. But the one that penetrates hearts is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may not tickle your ears, but it will pierce your heart, guaranteed. And the second thing we do, we don't just judge the content, but you judge every messenger by their character. You know, all throughout Scripture, you see different references to different bushes and thistles and things like that. You have Jotham's thorn tree and Judges. You have crackling thorn bushes in Ecclesiastes. You have Isaiah's buckthorn. Now, the buckthorn is interesting because it is an evergreen that grows with many branches. And as it blooms, it produces a small berry that is green. Now, oftentimes, this berry is mistaken for a grape. The problem with the buckthorn berry is that if you eat that one, then it is poisonous, okay? It could physically harm you. It could kill you. And so you don't want to eat that one, okay? Stay away from the buckthorn berry. But these are all over Palestine, okay? Not to be confused with Palestine here in East Texas, okay? But in Palestine, they're very popular, right? Funny story, when I first moved here, called it Lake Palestine. It's not, okay? It's Lake Palestine, okay? I had some looks like what you're giving me right now. But all over, there would be these thistles and things. And this is what Jesus is referencing in Matthew chapter 7. He says this in verse 15. He says, "Be on guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit." And here it is. "Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit." He is saying, listen, you will know them by their fruit. You can know a messenger, you can know a prophet, you can know a teacher by their fruit. There will be times that a false prophet has a decent message, even a good message. He says, but time will tell that whether or not this is from a true prophet or a false prophet, from a pure teacher or a wicked teacher. He's saying that you must pay attention to their fruit. And false teachers, because they could have good content, they are difficult to recognize in the moment. But the fruit of their labor, the fruit of their efforts will surely be seen. There will be doctrinal compromise. There will be moral compromise. And time will tell. And the truth for all of us that we must understand that an outward appearance also does not mean that they are pure in heart. Listen, can we just be honest in the room? A public performance is much easier to maintain than a private devotion. Much easier. That's not just for teachers. That's for every single follower of Jesus. That your private devotion to Jesus should fuel your outward appearance. It should fuel your outward worship. It's the same thing with baptism. Baptism does not mean that you are getting saved because you're being baptized. You're being baptized because of what Jesus has done. It is an outward expression, and so it should be with your private devotion and your corporate worship. And Jesus rebuked the Pharisees over and over again. He would tell them, listen, the outside of your cup is clean, but on the inside, you are filthy. This is what he's getting on to him about. He's saying, you're nothing more than a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's saying, what is happening in your private life must align with your public life. Now, the third thing that we see is not only that, but judge every messenger by their commercialism. All right, now, when I say commercial nowadays, a lot of kids, a lot of students, they have no clue what you're talking about, okay? My family, we love to watch TV or a movie. We like to have a movie night together where we watch a movie or some TV show. One of our favorites is America's Funniest Home Videos, okay? I don't know if it's because my family is dark or not, but we love watching people fall and hurt themselves, okay? It's great. If you trip and fall in this room, and I giggle at you, I'm sorry, okay? But it's just funny. But the other night we were watching together, but we were actually watching it live, okay? How 2010 of us, right? But we were watching it together, and as soon as a commercial came on, my three-year-old son looked at me and said, Daddy, fast forward it. He's like, what are you doing? We don't watch this? I don't know why I just went to a northern accent, but he doesn't talk like that. All right, but he's like, what? We don't watch this? He says, fast forward it. And I'm like, I can't, buddy. It's live. See, they don't understand. What is the, have you ever thought about commercials? I mean, what is the purpose? The only thing that commercials are trying to do is to sell you on a product. You see, what we have to understand about a false teacher or a false messenger is that they will attempt over and over and over again to sell you on a product. They will sell you, try to sell you on what they are teaching, what they are saying. And now listen, I am going to work as hard as I can to show you the truth of Jesus Christ, because I believe without a shadow of doubt that is our only hope to live eternally. And so you better believe it. I'm going to sell you. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to do whatever I can so that you can hear it. However, a false teacher does it for personal gain, not for kingdom advancement. You see, what we want to share, what we are about, is the truth of Jesus Christ, because only the truth of Jesus Christ can transform your lives and change your trajectory for all eternity. But for personal gain, it does nothing for your soul. And we know that this is why Jesus came. We know this. Even in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, he says this. It said to them, he said, let's go on. He's talking to his disciples, to the neighboring villages, so that I may preach there too. This is why I came. This is why I am here. This is why I came. Luke tells us that he came for one reason, and that is to seek and save the lost. But it's not for the gain personally. It's for kingdom advancement. And so what we see from John is this major contrast from the false teacher to the true teacher. The second thing that we see is the testimony of a faithful servant. The testimony of a faithful servant. This is what I want to hear from Jesus himself when my time on earth is done. This should be all of our aim together. Everyone, this should be our aim, that when we stand before God, that we would have the same reputation of that as Moses. And according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, it says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household. Church, what if that was our reputation? What if the world around us looked at us and understood, man, he is a faithful servant of the Lord. That's what I want to hear when my time on earth is done. I want to stand before Jesus in awe and in worship, and I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is it. And that should be our aim together. So if we want to have that in our future, what should we look for? According to John, the first thing that we see is a true messenger identifies with the Son of God. You see, this is what we see in verse 2 when he says, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. You see, once again, John makes it plain that Christianity, This following Jesus, is rooted and grounded in this one question: what do you believe about Jesus? It's not what do you believe about the Bible, although that is important. It's not what do you believe about the church, although that is important. He is saying, what do you believe about Jesus? Because this is foundational for your life in him, that you may have salvation according to your belief in Jesus. And it's not just this lighthearted statement, but it is a statement of faith saying that, Jesus, I believe in you, that you came to die for me. Therefore, because you have saved me, my identity is now rooted in you alone. To have an identification with Jesus means that you are aiming to live a life that is completely aligned to him. That you don't go right or left apart from Jesus Christ, that you stay and you abide in him. And this is only possible because a true messenger is indwelt by the Spirit of God. This is only possible if you have the Spirit of Jesus within you. This is the only way that this is possible. Listen to what he says in verse 4. He says, the one who is in you, believer. He's talking to the believer. The one who is in you is greater than the world. It is greater than whoever. The one who is in the world is the Spirit that is inside of you. It is the Spirit of the living God that is in you. It is Jesus Christ himself who died for you, who was resurrected for you so that you may have life in him. And he said, that's not it. Now I'm going to dwell in you. Why in the world would a Savior who is perfect look at us, to look at you, to look at me and say, you know what? You are a suitable dwelling place for me. This is beyond us. It is the free gift of God. This is the opposite of commercialism. This is the opposite of the false teacher, because you don't have a choice. When Jesus is inside of you, he draws you in toward truth. He draws you in to be a messenger of God, and every other philosophy fades. All of the things of the world fades, and he says that you belong to me, therefore you live according to me. And it's because a true messenger is inspired by the word of God. You see, this is where we must stay central as a church. That we never go apart from God's word. You know, can I just tell you, according to John chapter 8, verse 47, listen to this. It says, the one who is from God listens to God's words. Just think about that first statement. They listen to God's words. You see what the difference is? A true follower of Jesus, a true faithful servant of God, they don't just teach opinions. They don't teach what is common of the day. You don't just go with the waves and the winds of this world, but they stay true to one thing, and that is God's word, because it is only God's word that promises to affect your life. It is only God's word that promises to penetrate your life. It is only God's word that will ever pierce your heart. There is nothing that I have to say of any eternal value, but when you preach God's word, and when you hear God's word, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the only thing that will change your eternity. Listen, there is nothing that we have that will create your best life now. The truth of Jesus says that I have come to give you an abundant life, and what that means is that Jesus will never once let go of you, that he will continue to sustain you, that he will continue to drive you. And I know that there are many in this room that you're thinking, this is the first time I have ever heard the truth. You see, when you hear the truth and God begins to stir in your heart, he begins to stir in your life. This is God who, according to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that says this. It says, see, I stand at the door and knock. You see, when you start to feel that stirring, when your heart rate is on the rise a little bit, and you're starting to feel like something is happening inside of me. I feel like God is speaking directly to me. Listen, that is not me. That is the Spirit of God himself, and it is Jesus who is knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. You know what this means is not only will he provide salvation for you, not only will he save you from your sins because you have absolutely no other hope in this world, but you will have an intimate fellowship. He says, I will eat with you, meaning that he will have fellowship with you everlasting if you will just hear the voice of God and open up that door. You know, I never want to say it is that simple, but according to the gospel, it is. That if you would believe in him, that he would be faithful, that he would be just, he would cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There is no other truth, and there is no other message. There is no other name by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. And he promises if you would just call out to him, he will save you. And I know in a room this size, there are people right now who needed to hear that because you heard it for the first time, and it is time right now for you to give your life to Jesus. So will you just bow your head where you are? Will you just close your eyes? Without anybody moving in the room, this is between you and the Lord. But I know that there are people in this room right now who need that truth. You need for God to save you. And just pray to him right now. If that's you, just pray to him right where you are. There's nothing mystical about a prayer. This is a prayer of faith that you trust that Jesus will save you. And just pray to him. Say, Jesus, I need you to save me right now. I need you to take over my life. And he will do it. He will do it. I just want to ask, if that's you in this room, will you just look up at me and just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus right now. I see you right there. Anyone else? I see you right here. I see you right there. Anyone else? Hold your hand up so I can see it. Jesus died publicly for you, and we will respond publicly to him. Anyone else? Those of you that just raised your hand, I'm going to ask you right now to just be bold. I want you to just go ahead and get up out of your seat because we want to pray with you. We have pastors and ministers in the back, and they just want to help you know what your next step is. There are no tricks, no gimmicks, no nothing. We just want to pray with you, and that is it. So if you raise your hand, I'm just going to ask, go ahead and go right now. Go ahead and move. Be bold. You can do it. Go ahead and you can move right to the back. Those of you, there are people already moving. If that's you. Anyone else? Don't let this time pass. Just don't let this time pass. We will wait. The rest of you, those of you that have just been thinking, I haven't been diligent with what I've allowed in my mind. This is a time that you can ask the Lord to correct that and say, Jesus, I want everything in me to be centered on you and you alone. Will you just use this time during our response to just pray and say, God, will you realign my heart toward you? Heavenly Father, whatever is needed in this time, Father, those who need to follow through with baptism, those who need to follow through with understanding what salvation means, I pray, Jesus, that you will continue to stir in their heart in such a way, God, that you would help them to be bold and courageous and to move like others have already done so. But God, this is your time for your Spirit to move, and we rest in that. We wait patiently in that. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you look up, I just want to ask that you stand up, and we're going to continue to worship. But if that's you, maybe you need to want to join our church. Maybe you need to go forward for baptism like we've already seen with these four this morning. Whatever decision you need to make, we have volunteers in the back right between the banners, and they want to help you take those next steps. But let's worship together.